Okay, I'm in studio here in Highland on the Mountaintop along with the team of Patsy McGonigal, Chris Ashmore and Jeremy Doherty as we recap some of the sporting stories, the big sporting stories from 2018. And there was a Letterkenny man that was impressive on the rugby front through the course of the last year. So representing Ulster and indeed Ireland as well, Chris Ashmore.
Yes, Jordan Levy from Letterkenny, now playing his club rugby with Malone, and in his second year with the Ulster Academy. Great to see that not only has he made his Irish under 20 debut, but quite recently getting onto the Ulster senior side. So it shows the strides that he's making. Great for Letterkenny, great for Donegal rugby, and during the year that Ulster rugby came down as part of their pre-season to Dave Gallagher Park in Letterkenny, and Rory Best and all the big names were there, and Joe Dunleavy, and it's, you know, figures like Joe that others will look up to, and he will inspire many others. And difficult for people in Donegal to break into that Ulster rugby squad at the higher level, so you know, he really is doing so well. And then more laterally, of course, we've young Conor McMenamin, who also has got he got the Youth Player of the Year award, and then he's represented Ireland at under 19 level. So it's certainly all very positive on that front. And then on the ladies front, well, Larissa Muldoon had a great international career. Of course, she won an award at the she was the Ladies Player of the Year at the Ulster Rugby Awards. And Laura Feely from Ballybofey, who plays with the Galwegians Club in Galway, she's in the Irish senior squad for the Women's Six Nations coming up in 2019. So this is all very positive for local rugby.
Yeah, it certainly is as we move away from rugby and into soccer. Jeremy Doherty, one of Highland's soccer correspondents, of course. Well, ladies first, and I suppose it's been a big year once again for Milford's Amber Barrett in the soccer front, Jeremy.
Yeah, she had another great year, didn't she, Oisín? And you know, a former Donegal senior ladies GA player as well, who has more or less decided to concentrate on her soccer career for now. And that's the GA's loss, because Amber is quality stuff. And you know, we've watched her in action for the Republic of Ireland ladies. They got quite a bit of coverage on TV this year. Great to see her running the line up front for that international team. And they had a decent campaign in their group. They got a good result against Holland, one of the world's strongest teams at women's international level. And she scored a dramatic late goal to help Ireland win 2-1 against Slovakia in one of the games as well. So yeah, good year, although there was disappointment for her whenever they lost out against the Netherlands a couple of weeks after that game against Slovakia, and that more or less ended their chances of qualifying for the finals.
Yeah, club-wise, she was exceptional. So she was playing for Piemont United. 30 goals in 21 games, and there was 7 hat-tricks in there, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, she was one of the standout performers. And speaking to her during the year, you know, the game has come on leaps and bounds, and there's the structures have been put in place, the whole training regime. And the fact you have this Women's National League now as well, it really has helped to raise the standard of the game. And it's the hope will be that Letterkenny Rovers had a team competing at underage before, and the Kilmacrennan years before that, and it'll be nice to see a Donegal women's team competing at the senior level again, and I've no doubt that will happen.
The other girls that were involved in that Ireland team, Tyra Tolan, Roma McLaughlin and Amy Boyle-Carr, all members of that Ireland squad, so there's a good core there of ladies from the Northwest representing Donegal at international level on the women's front. And Bart, of course, ended the year with the Golden Boot in that Women's National League and was also on the team of the year. Suppose the Republic of Ireland men's, there's not really much to talk about, Jeremy. I suppose a lot of the headlines was from the management front, so it was.
Yeah, a lot of changes. Another notable year on that front, I suppose. And I don't think too many people were first of all too surprised or disappointed at Martin O'Neill's departure. Perhaps surprised at his replacement, who has come in the form of Mick McCarthy. Big year for Seamus Coleman as well, because this time last year, Oisín, when we were doing the review of the year, Coleman still had to make his return from injury after he picked up that double leg break against Wales back in March of 2017. He came back in January of 2018, and you know, he's been playing well. He hasn't been, you know, all that brilliant in the colours of Everton, but he's consistently good, isn't he? And he's dependable, good right back. Big year as well for Ronan Curtis, made the move from Derry City across the water to Portsmouth. He had been, you know, expected to make the move cross-channel. It was just a case of who he was going to go to, and he has really hit the ground running. Made the step up to under 20 level with the Republic of Ireland, then got the shout at senior level too, which is fantastic to see. He's a player that we've watched come up through the ranks at underage level, playing his schoolboy football here in Donegal, and hopefully he can go on to make a name for himself at international level. James McLean and Shane Duffy, you know, again, when you look at James McLean up and down season again, he always seems to play well for Ireland though, and maybe that was the fact that he, you know, he had such time for Martin O'Neill. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on under the Mick McCarthy regime, and Shane Duffy playing well for his club Brighton. So,
and there's another guy too, Michael Duffy from Dundalk.
Yep.
He's switching allegiance. He's represented Northern Ireland at underage level, and now the clearance is set to come through very soon in relation to his move to the Republic. So he's a guy that you could see involved in the senior setup.
Yeah, and we got to remember as well, he was brought to Dundalk by their manager, whose name I can't...
Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, Stephen Kenny. Stephen Kenny, obviously a big admirer of Duffy. And of course, Stephen Kenny now involved in the international setup. So that could well bode well for Duffy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's always good to draw the link with Ronan Curtis, with Kildrum Tigers and the local club as well. And indeed, to mention Derry City. And also to just briefly mention some of the moves within the League of Ireland with Georgie Kelly now at Dundalk, and looking to see how that's going to develop. A very talented young man, and young Dunleavy has now moved to Sligo Rovers. We'll have to watch that space as well, and in addition to the others. But outside of the county, that is, those guys, we're just keeping an eye on them.
And of course, at underage level, there's been a whole flurry of youngsters from Donegal getting international caps, and we wouldn't have seen that really years ago. Part of it's to do with the structures within Finn Harps, but it seemed every 2 or 3 weeks there was an underage player getting a call up for an Irish under 15, under 17, under 19 team, and this is, you know, it looks good for the future.
Yeah, there was a time that was very scarce in
Absolutely.
The county, that young players were getting a chance at international level, so it's all boding well, and when you're 14, 15, 16 years of age and you get an international call-up, be it with the Ireland side or an Irish school side, it's something that you'll learn from and cherish, so it is, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, and maybe people outside of the game who don't follow Finn Harps too closely may not be aware, particularly at a club like Finn Harps, that after years of really struggling to get the underage structure right, a lot of time and resources have gone into that now. And next year, they'll have, what, I think, four teams playing in underage national leagues, and it's a way of bringing together. Now, some people don't necessarily agree with the structure, but the FAI has brought it in, and all the Air Tristy League clubs have that structure coming through, and it's a pathway, as Kevin McHugh, the Harps legend who's very much involved, has pushed to point out.
And there's already underage success there, Patsy. And
well,
we touched on it in an earlier programme. The Declan Boyle's under 17 is doing the double.
Absolutely. And that was a brilliant achievement, really, by Declan Boyle in that grouping. And, you know, just underlining, Chris got in on the point there, really, that Harps have now really got it together with a very good team and a very good management team behind those youth players. And opportunities now are there for Donegal players to play with Harps, and indeed to get that opportunity at international level. And, you know, getting that opportunity at international level, one doesn't, you know, there's always this hope that they'll move on and, you know, improve themselves across the water or whatever. And it's a better, in my opinion, it's a way better option than, you know, getting the plane to some club, as was happening and happening and happening with young kids going over to clubs and coming back disillusioned. And we've seen it so many times, and their confidence and everything gone, you know. So, I mean, Harps are now giving that opportunity to young players.
Yeah. As for the senior side, Jeremy, I know we had an earlier programme on it, but great memories of 2018 getting promotion, and what brilliant performance by Finn Harps. That brilliant run to get to the playoffs and then to play, particularly in that second leg, play out our skin, and the performance put on the Markets Field was just tremendous. I know you were in commentary that day with Declan Boyle. You were two very excited men.
Yeah, a great performance down in Limerick, and that, you know, was the final game of what was a long and tough season for Harps. And when you look back on it, the start of the season, a wee bit sluggish, I suppose, really. They, you know, they struggled to string a run of results together, Oisin, and they were kind of hanging off the coattails of UCD, who were leading the way, but they were up against fairly well-established First Division clubs who had been biding their time trying to get out of the First Division for so long. I'm talking about perhaps Shelburne, Longford Town, Cove Ramblers, and of course Galway United and Drogheda had also come down with Harps. So Ollie Horgan had, you know, played down the chances of Harps getting promotion straight back up. And when you look back on it now, he probably wasn't far away from it, Oisin. People say that Ollie tends to talk everything down and talks the opposition up. But on this occasion, Harps were up against it. But you got to hand it to them. And shrewd bit of business during the transfer window in July. He brought in some key players who produced the goods when it mattered. And as you say, they went on this long unbeaten run. Their only defeat during that period was in the FAI Cup itself when they lost against Stephen Kenny's Dundalk at Oriel Park. Other than that, you know, no issues, no problems, and got the results when they mattered. Yeah, they played well down in Limerick. I think the big moment for me in the playoffs, Oisin, was down in Drogheda in the first leg of their semi-final when Harps didn't play well that night. They were 1-0 down. Drogheda were pushing for a second, but Harps played much better in the second half and got their equaliser. A fantastic piece of individual skill from Nathan Boyle, one of those new signings, got them the goal, a 1-1 draw, and from there on in they went on and won the playoffs in impressive fashion.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the League of Ireland, the season ended on a downer for Derry City. The results were poor in the second half of the campaign. The camp at the Brandywell weren't happy, and subsequently manager Kenny Shields was sacked. But in the thick of all that, they did win the EA Sports Cup. The success, which was Kenny Shields' first taste of silverware as boss, seen Derry beat Cove Ramblers 3-1 in the final, which was played at the Brandywell.
Kenny, you won the silverware as Derry City manager. You finally got your hands on it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good feeling for the boys and for the club and for the people of the city. But most importantly, for Ryan McBride, how befitting is that on the week that it's been confirmed it's the Ryan McBride Stadium? It's just, it's like as if it's been pre-planned and put into place, and the emotional imbalance of the last 18 months since Ryan passed away, it's been at the forefront of my mind that I would love to win a trophy for his name. So I think this should be Ryan McBride's day as well. And we thought so much of him, as you local media have as well, and you know the type of lad he was. And I don't know why these things happen. It's karma. They get the foundation have done fantastic work, and they got the vote on Thursday, and already we've got a cup. So, and I'm really pleased for that connection that's there.
That was Kenny Shields, the then manager of Derry City. An up and down year for the Crandy Stripes, Chris.
Absolutely. Back at the Brandywell, having had that season in Buncrana, and the start of the season went quite well for them. They had a couple of good home wins on the new surface, but then the second half of the season, it was almost the exact opposite of what happened at Finn Harps. Derry just couldn't seem to win a game, and they pretty much went into free fall and started to leak goals. I think it was the record number of goals that they've conceded in the league, and it all just went pretty sour at the end. So Declan Devine, big job for him now the year ahead. As was mentioned there in that clip, of course, they did win silverware, but really it was scant consolation for what was a poor season for the expectant City fans.
Let's move to the Irish League. Institute, who had a 3-3 draw today in the Premiership, are currently 7th in the top flight of Irish League football, and they went straight to the Premiership and taking the Championship title earlier in the campaign under manager Paddy McLaughlin. And given that club situation with their ground, and where they played at Drumahoe, and they're not going to be back at Drumahoe, and they're now into the Brandywell, and they're playing well in the top flight, they're getting results. They're 7th out of 12 teams, and it's been a good story. With everything bad that happened around the club, they're going okay, so they're,
yeah,
Chris,
absolutely.
They're doing well.
Paddy McLaughlin's side punching above their weight, and I think Michael McCrudden scored again today. 16 goals for him this season. They're going well. 7th, the Newry and Warren Point, the two bottom clubs. So even though we're really only at the halfway stage of the season, it's looking pretty good that they're going to stay up and avoid at worst, really, a relegation playoff spot. They are struggling against the bigger clubs, but against the sides below them, they are taking the points. And you would expect that they're going to finish comfortably mid-table, and that is a great achievement of the first season back up.
On to the Ulster Senior League. Dermot Cockhill Celtic, a sixth league and cup title in a row earlier on in 2018. It was another remarkable performance by the men from the Charlie O'Donnell ground.
Yeah, and Chris and myself had the pleasure of being in the company of Gavin Cullen on some of those journeys for Finn Harps this year. Oisín, he joined the Highland Sports team for those games doing co-commentary, and he gave us an insight into the commitment and the attitude that he expects from his players, those players that have helped Gavin and Cockhill Celtic to so much success in recent seasons, and that train for success just keeps going on. There's no stopping them. This year they're up against a Letterkenny Rovers team who have been really impressive, but last year it was all about Cockhill Celtic, wasn't it? And they did so well. They won another Ulster Senior League title thanks to their playoff victory over Letterkenny Rovers in a match played out at Bonagie. They won 2-0 that night, and that was their sixth title and sixth league and cup double in a row. Lawrence Toland and Ronan Doherty scored the goals, and Ronan Doherty has since made the move to Institute. Cockhill Celtic won the Donegal News League Cup as well. They beat Letterkenny Rovers 3-1 in that final. That was the one that was played down in McGinn Park in Buncrana. Lawrence Toland, again, the former Swillie Rovers man, was on the mark that night. And just to cap what was a great year for the Inishowen club, Peter Doherty and Jimmy Bradley were both part of the Republic of Ireland Regions Cup squad, which played out in Romania during the year as well. So yeah, you got to hand it to them.
Letterkenny Rovers as well won the Knockalla Caravan Senior Cup title with a 2-1 over Cockhill Celtic on that final day. Cockhill were looking for a hat-trick of titles. Suppose the final bit on the soccer front, we'll go to Patsy. Jim McGuinness making the transition from being an All-Ireland winning manager in 2012 with Donegal to now his first head coach job. He's off to the States in Charlotte. We wish him well with his appointment, and we're all expecting Jim McGuinness to settle in quite quickly to life in America, because we know that he's very, very capable of the role he's now taking on, Patsy.
Yes, indeed, and I'm sure he is well sussed out, I know that he starts training with the guys at the end of January, and he's moved on from the Gaelic scene to the soccer scene, and he, his ambitions are in soccer right now. So, you only can wish him and his family who are travelling with him, I believe, the very, very, very best of luck. And we'll watch with interest to see how that develops. Obviously, he will have ambitions to get beyond that level, and I'm sure that's what's in his mind, and he may not say that out straight, but you would imagine Jim McGuinness being Jim McGuinness, that's what he would like to do. He used those early years in football in Scotland and in China, and I'm sure as a learning and educational process from soccer performance for him, and he's going with all that education in the head and the Jim McGuinness, the organisation that he brings. So, the very best luck to him.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year for Jim McGuinness as well. So we're going to leave the soccer front and take a quick commercial break, but we will be back with more in the Best Of series as we recap some of the other big sporting stories from 2018, and they'll be on the way after this commercial break.